All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're watching Oilers Nation every day with Tyler Yaremchuk. Your one-stop shop for all things Oilers.
Skinner, CeCe, the coaching, Evander Kane. Who should we blame for that loss last night? Let's get into it with the lead. Welcome into Oilers Nation every day, streaming live on the Oilers Nation YouTube. And as always, from the Sports Closet studio, check them out online at sportscloset.ca or in one of their three locations in the Edmonton area, Short Park Mall, St. Albert Mall, or Kingsway Mall. The lead today, Liam, that actually might have been the game of the year. Quinton Byfield earlier in the week scored the goal of the year. Last night might have been the most entertaining hockey game on the NHL calendar this season. That was unbelievable. That was two teams who are legitimate heavyweights, but both legitimately flawed in different ways. Just blow after blow after blow. It was awesome.
It was awesome. And it was basically like 11 goals were all mistakes. It was kind of crazy, actually. What could really? Because we saw Boston and Edmonton play last year, and both games were so tight and so close.
Yeah.
I think they split them, right?
Yeah. And the one win was like 3-2. Like it was tight games.
And that's what I expected last night. But what I got was pure chaos, but basically 63 minutes or whatever it was. Like unreal game. Shame about the outcome, but at least we were entertained until, you know, basically the sun came up because the game started in the middle of the night.
Yeah, again, that game was awesome. It's just a damn shame not to do the whole schedule maker thing again, but schedule makers had that one starting at 10:20 Eastern time. So basically, you know, what would you say? I don't know the exact numbers, but what, 70, 80% of hockey fans weren't awake to watch the most entertaining parts of that hockey game? It really was a damn shame. But that hockey game, absolutely unbelievable. It really did give you a little bit of everything. The Bruins opened the scoring. Warren Fogle ties it up. He looked good next to Connor McDavid. You can see the full scoring summary here. Mason Lowry. I don't even know how to say it.
Where is it?
He's down at the bottom there. Three apples in the game. Played a career high.
I thought he was someone in the chat.
No,
no. That guy.
career high in minutes yesterday, although he played like 23 something. And 320 of it came in that one shift at the end of the second period when the Oilers just had them absolutely hemmed in the offensive zone. The crowd was getting insanely loud during that part. Like Boston, there was a point where the Oilers were cycling it on from my seat, like the far right-hand corner. And Brandon Carlo was in front of the net with no one around him, just stick on his knees, bent over. And it was like, damn, like the Bruins are down bad right now.
That was a brutal icing call, the second one that they called on them. That was awful.
I can't believe they didn't bring it back to center ice.
Me neither. That was right on the line. It was clear. I would have been, they were furious. That was not icing.
Yeah. Jim Montgomery was absolutely losing his shit on the bench. So, yeah. And it was pretty funny to see. But anyways, it's a 6-5 overtime loss for the Oilers. And we'll get into the negatives. We'll get into the positives. There's kind of a part of me that walked out of that game last night, even though there were some serious frustrations throughout it. Like, you were down 4-1 to a decent, really good team in Boston. I know they've been sputtering as of late, but you were down 4-1 and you found a way to salvage a point. I have a hard time being overly disappointed for that.
I'm a bit mixed on it too, because they put themselves in that spot from being terrible. You know, the second period's been haunting this team so much. And since the All-Star break, they've really just, well, I shouldn't say since the All-Star break, since the Vegas game, they've just not been the same team, right? Mm-hmm. Like the play in the defensive zone has been brutal for basically just second periods.
Yep.
And I think every game back now, they've allowed 3 or more goals. And before that, they were barely allowing anything. They were one of the best underbets in the league. And now it just feels like every time they come down the ice, it's a bit of like uncertainty what's going to happen. And I know a lot of people want to blame Skinner, and you know why that second goal, Brad Marchand scored, was bad. There's no denying it. But I mean, come on, like, look at what's happening in front of him too. Like, the team is just not playing very well defensively right now.
Yeah, that was that second period. All those goals came with some sort of, I'd say, close to grade A level mistake in front of Stuart Skinner. Like that Brad Marchand one, people were kind of giving me shit on Twitter because they were like, "Oh, Cody Ceci kept his guy outside the dots." That read Cody Ceci made at the top of the blue line made absolutely zero sense. Why he followed that guy and did a loose curl, like, again, sure, he got back and like kind of kept him to the outside to some extent, but that just didn't make any sense at all. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with our replay there. It's not working, but whatever.
Like, just not anticipating what's going to happen. Like, even the, what was it, the Jake DeBrusk goal, mm-hmm. too. I know they play like a bit of a zone defense or whatever, but also, like, Cody Ceci, you don't go to the blue line, man. Yeah. Like, come on.
What do you do?
Like, he's a veteran defenseman. If Evan Bouchard was doing that stuff, we'd absolutely kill him for it. But it's Cody Ceci, who's supposed to be our top pairing guy on the right side. And to me, he was at fault for, I'll say 1.5 goals, because Skinner should have had that goal.
Yeah.
But it comes from that. And then the DeBrusk one, it's like, man, like, where are you going? You know, like, DeBrusk basically just got a free path to the net.
Yeah. It was stunning. Warren Fogle puts his second of the game home later on in the second period with about 4.5 minutes to go. That gave the Oilers some momentum because they were great in the final 3 minutes of that period. And then they rolled it over to just a fantastic start in, I don't know what's going on. I'll just give up on him. Matthias Janmark scores with his stick.
Wow.
That is significant. And then the goal that I'll dub our Douglas Mattress moment of the game, Liam, for our friends at Douglas Mattresses, a locally owned and operated Edmonton company. You can get yours today at douglas.ca/OilersNation. These mattresses are handcrafted in Canada, ensuring the highest quality materials and fastest delivery to you. It was a late night last night. I was up bright and early today, but I still feel rested because I got a solid 7 hours of shut-eye on my Douglas mattress. I was mad after the game, come home, head hits the pillow, body on the Douglas mattress, boom, I'm out like a light, Liam. I sleep good.
Kicking and screaming all night.
Yeah. support a locally owned and operated, not just a Canadian Albertan company. It's an Edmonton owned and operated company. Douglas.ca/OilersNation. Corey Perry's goal. That's my moment of the game, man. 4-3. He goes to the net. Not only does he deflect the puck first, because he doesn't get that rebound if he doesn't deflect it first, deflects it down off the pads, shoots right back to him, and then really nice touch around the net really for good. Corey Perry. He fires it home. The celebration was awesome. I was laughing my ass off with him, just the deadpan like stare ahead with his arms out. And it was just like, what's going on right now? And then in the arena, you know how on the Jumbotron they do, like, I don't know if people who don't go to the games, I guess, wouldn't know this. They do like
things for each player, right?
Yeah. So like when Zach Hyman scores, they have a little animation that says Scory Time with Zach Hyman, and it's a children's book. Yeah. They also have a new one they debuted last night. That was all about his gaming company. So it had cool little thing. When Yamamoto was on the team, the scoreboard would fill up with yams and it'd say it's yam time. They have a cap.
Avi.
Yeah, they had a Bison King one. They have a Nuge one. They have a Captain Connor one that does a cool little thing as well. So they kind of have like unique player animations for a bunch of their kind of big guys, we'll call them. Corey Perry scores yesterday. They debut a Scorey Perry thing on the board. Cool. And then in the next TV timeout, they played Corey's in the House, the Corey in the House theme song.
The DJ's good.
Shout out Bose.
But that was really cool, man. I mean, he's chipped in a handful of goals now since coming over to the Oilers. He got in a tilt in that game against the Bruins, which I know he got the extra penalty and all of that. But and the Bruins scored on the power play. Like, that didn't go great, but I like that Corey Perry was at least willing to mix it up a little bit. And when things weren't going well for the Edmonton Oilers, he found a way to try to get momentum going back in their favor. And then he scores the big tying goal as well. So I loved what we got from Corey Perry last night. That's my moment of the game for Douglas Mattresses.
Before I get my moment of the game, I think the Oilers are starting to find ways to play Perry. I don't think you can just be like, okay, Corey Perry, you're playing on the first line with McDavid and Draisaitl today. Yeah. It's okay, Corey Perry, we need you for the shift to go and play with A and B, whoever it may be, right? I think he's just a spot guy. I think you can play with him in many different ways. And I think that's the way they gotta utilize him the most, because he's effective. He's a guy who's gonna go to the net and do that kind of stuff, right? So great game by him. My moment of the game, though, is actually going to the opposition team. Jeremy Swayman's glove save on Leon Draisaitl in
OT time. Well, that was a game definer, because the Oilers win that hockey game if it's not for that.
Yeah. So for me, that was the moment that changed, well, the outcome of the game, obviously. But like, he was not very good.
Neither goalie had banner nights by any means. Like, how many of those goals the Oilers scored? Perry would be one. Janmark would be one. Hyman's the next game dying goal, the 5-5 goal Hyman. Those were all Swayman spitting rebounds right back into the slot.
Yeah, so there's three of the five. And then what, Fogel? I think both Fogel's goals were pretty much just Fogel working his ass off to get something going. And then you look at the other end too, and there were just mistakes by the Oilers again. And you know what, like, Skinner had some good saves in that game too, because the Oilers just kept leaving like guys like Pastrnak open in the slot. And he's like, what are we doing? Like, so yeah, my moment of the game is Swayman, because that, you needed your goalie to show up at one point. One other team did. And hey, Skinner, to his credit, had the big stop shortly after as well against JVR, but Swayman was my moment of the game for that glove save.
Yeah, man. When the Oilers get a 4-on-3 power play, it feels like a lot of times it should be automatic that they go out there and end the hockey game. That was not the case because Swayman played so well. I also feel like Evan Bouchard missed the net 3 times in overtime. Yeah. And I know that you live by the sword, die by the sword, and they've won 2 games in overtime because of Bouchard's willingness to throw the puck on net. Mm. It's difficult to pick corners on an NHL goalie, but that was not a great look.
It's interesting how different the power play is in overtime than it is to a regular period, whatever. Like, they are willing to just like let Bouchard unleash. He's basically the only person that has like, they set him up.
And what I didn't like about yesterday too is that it seemed very stationary as well. Like, yeah, it was just, they stayed in their little, call it a diamond, with Hyman in front, McDavid, Nuge, and then Bouchard on the point. They stayed like that and didn't really move from that. There was never a point where McDavid did like the, I'm going to grab the puck, bring it all the way kind of around the top of the umbrella, you could call it, get to the other side, try to throw off the D a little bit. Like, it was basically just stationary and either forcing a feed to Draisaitl or letting Bouchard take wild wristers. Like, there wasn't, that power play was not a good attempt considering the game was on the line.
The power play without Ryan Nugent-Hopkins too is almost completely different. And you could tell in moments, they almost didn't know where to be a little bit as well. Like, his presence was greatly missed last night, and they changed it so much. Like, Kane doesn't just like fill in for Nuge and play that role.
Yeah.
He basically is just like in the slot with Hyman there. Right. And Hyman's in that front, Kane's a bit further up, and then that's how they run it. And it just doesn't work. But like, I don't know who, like, Nuge is almost irreplaceable a little bit. And he's in just the way he is. You know what I mean? He's very calm with the puck. Like, he'll shoot. He's a good passer. Yep. They know this, don't really have another guy like that who can, you know, honestly, I don't think they have another guy like that.
There was a play in the first period, Oilers on the power play, where either Draisaitl or McDavid slung a pass right in front of the net and Kane was all alone. And it was just a little in his feet and he couldn't quite hold it and he fell down. I have seen Ryan Nugent-Hopkins cleanly pick up a puck like that and throw it low blocker 100 times, it feels like, in his Oilers career. And yeah. I think that right there showed just how much they missed him on the power play. The other thing, too, is coming out of the 4-on-3, what was Chris Knobloch forced to do? Play Evander Kane in overtime. And I mean, maybe I shouldn't say forced all that well, but we'll talk about that in a second. But if you would have had Nuge to go out there for that D-zone faceoff, probably a different outcome of the game.
I said that right as if as the power play was going through. I was watching it with my dad, and I said, you know what? If they don't score on this, the trouble is now you come out and they have Pasternak, Marshall, and McAvoy, and the others have
fully rested.
Whoever they are, what was it? McLeod, Kane, and Nurse.
Like, yeah.
Three good players, don't get me wrong, but like that's a big difference in talent.
I was chatting with someone yesterday who was like, why would Knobloch, you have a D zone draw against those three guys coming up? And I know Ekholm got on the ice at the end of the 4-on-4, I believe. But why would you not have gone Nurse and Ekholm there?
Yeah, because he's done that before.
Yeah.
To like stop the game, you know? And
if they win the draw, one hops right off and a forward comes on.
Yeah, his interest. His Knobloch's, I'm not questioning him. Actually, I will. His decision making has been really weird.
I think yesterday was really odd.
Yeah, like, I don't know. It's just sometimes you go out there and it's like, okay, who are we playing? Like, who's the guy momentum? He's like, oh, we're going to put Connor Brown next to Leon Draisaitl for a shift.
Okay.
Like, really?
I know.
You know?
I feel like we buried the lead a little bit because I really wanted to get into this. I said off the jump, who are we to blame for that game? Oh. It is very easy to blame Evander Kane for that game.
Yes.
That play to not chase down the icing and turn off because I honestly just don't even understand it. Like, I know people are like, oh, it's laziness, but it's like laziness. Like, you know that if that's icing, you have to go back onto the ice. It was just one of the most mind-numbing moments I've ever seen in a hockey game. Like, I watched it live. I was at the game last night and I was like, what the hell was he doing? Why would he not skate for that puck? And then you're kind of, when I was walking out of the arena, I was kind of like, did I miss something there? Mm-hmm. Like, was there a defenseman that was further back that he wouldn't have beaten in the race? But then you go back and watch it. It's like, no, all he had to do was take 10, not even hard strides, medium strides, 10 medium strides, and Swayman would have came out of the net to play it. And then you could have curled and went off the ice. That was an absolutely insane decision. It absolutely cost them the hockey game because you can't use a timeout on an icing. You had to come right back into your own end where Boston can keep their best players on the ice and yourself, McLeod, and Nurse are all absolutely gassed. I know some people were like, what the hell was that pass? Okay, Evander Kane was about to be, it would have been on a breakaway, I guess, if the pass connected. But if you're Ryan McLeod in that situation, you're gassed. You're just trying to get that thing out of the zone because you know Evander Kane's gone and he's going to beat it for an icing. The fact he just turned right off is just absolutely crazy, man. And I don't, to me, that is such a terrible, terrible mistake. If I'm Chris Knobloch, I'm never playing that guy in 3-on-3 overtime again. He's totally lost that privilege. And I think it's bad enough you plummet him down the lineup for a game. He can play on the fourth line next game against Minnesota. That deserves some sort of a punishment. That cost them the hockey game. And it's from a perspective of just being lazy, not paying attention, selfish. I don't even know.
Yeah, it was so strange. I think you said it in there, but a lot of people said it. Island yesterday. You can't call icings on
timeout on icing.
So that was new. Yeah, it was weird. I don't get it. But like you said, I was thinking the same thing. It's like when it happened, I thought, okay, this must be going like right into Swayman. Like this must be like under control here. And next thing you know, like it's just out. But also one thing, Swayman did look like he was out of his net a little bit. So I wonder if Kane, just to defend him a little bit, I think he's to blame, don't get me wrong, but like, I wonder if he kind of saw Swayman coming and was like, oh, they're going to call it. They're not going to call it because Swayman's out of his net.
Yeah.
And ultimately they didn't get called. But it's just like, what are you doing? And also like Knobloch to put Kane out there on a defensive draw. It's just weird. Like you have other better defensive forwards. If you really want, you can even pull out Derek Ryan out
there. I would have put Fogle out there.
Fogle out there. Yeah. Anyone.
He had two goals.
He did. It's just strange. And like, he should go down the lineup a little bit too. Like I didn't like it. I didn't like his game too much yesterday. And it's just, it was a disappointing way to end the game.
Quincy says McLeod is to blame, not Kane. Aiden says could have regrouped. No need to make that pass. I don't know what you're watching. That makes no sense. Again, consider the context of that shift. They're absolutely gassed. Kane is flying the zone.
Yeah.
If that, let me, here's a great little hypothetical that I think sums up Evander Kane's mindset on that play. If that pass was on his tape, do you think Evander Kane would have taken a couple hard strides on that breakaway? Nah? Or do you think he would have just like regrouped and been like, I'm gassed. I need a change. You better believe if that pass was on his tape, he would have been
gunning for the net.
Yeah, 100%.
1,000%. He didn't go for it because he's lazy and doesn't like playing team hockey. I have no problem saying that. And if you want further proof just from that game last night, the hell was going on that Pastrnak goal?
My highlights aren't working, but this is the best I could do for you right here.
He's so far ahead of everybody.
He's
That's
looking
insane
at it too.
To look at.
Nurse is also very far ahead of everybody.
If Nurse too, he's like, well, Kane's going, I'm going.
I'm getting a change. Yeah, like Nurse is excused on that play there. But like, how do you turn away from this?
I'm trying to find the clip here of the actual the pass from McLeod. Like, it's obviously off, don't get me wrong. It's like this guy's been out there for a while, but that's your moment of the game.
Probably. Yeah, I usually like to keep them positive, but that was the moment of the game.
Moment of the game. Disappointing.
It's that or the absolute whatever worst breakout pass I've ever seen on planet Earth from Vander Kane to Corey Perry on the, was that the pass to goal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll be honest on that pass to goal. Yeah. Corey Perry.
He had one hand on a stick.
One hand on a stick, and he didn't take a hard stride once. Like, if Corey Perry takes a hard stride at any point, he either picks up that pass or he at least makes a better defensive play. But like, maybe I'm absolutely cuckoo. I'm stunned at the amount of people in our chat who are trying to defend Evander Kane on this.
I think it's a clear and obvious error. And like, you're going to make them.
And he made two that more or less directly resulted in goals.
But that's just like a blame one to me. That's like, what are you doing, man? Like, the only excuse I can think of for him is that he saw Swayman coming out and thought he was going to get called no icing.
If you're not lazy, you take five hard strides and it's not even a conversation.
I completely agree. He should have gone.
Rusty, I love you. He says it was a bad play by Kane, but calling him lazy and selfish is too much. I honestly don't think it is. The way he played last night was inexcusable. And we can even take these two moments we're talking about now totally out of the conversation.
Yeah. I'm trying to watch. Okay, so here's a clip. We won't be able to see it. But some
McLeod. Sorry, I have the highlights.
And he's not even like that lazy of a pass from McLeod.
If he takes like
literally like three steps, I'm probably not going to call it.
He could have almost like just watching it now drives me even more nuts. If he takes two hard strides before McLeod makes that pass, he picks it up off the bounce.
And
he's gone in the clear.
The thing is, too, that's kind of frustrating. Nobody else can see this because we don't have the rights. But Kane actually makes a good play to start with by getting in the way of the shot and blocking it. And then McLeod, yeah, maybe he could have regrouped. I'll give someone credit for that, whoever said it. Like, come on, man. Like, the play that actually happened was Kane didn't want it. Didn't want to make the play.
Oh, that was a terrible play. It's inexcusable. Remember that? It was like 10 years ago. And the Oilers played the Predators in a game at Rexall Place. There was a power play. And the Oilers had a 2-on-1. And Andre Kostitsyn just like went off the ice. And their assistant coach was like jumping up and down, being like, what are you doing?
I do remember that. He didn't last much longer in the NHL.
No, he didn't.
Oh, well. We got a point after being terrible for a period. Do you want to turn this into a positive?
I'm very frustrated right
now.
Well,
I'll turn you.
I want to get positive.
Warren Fogel was really good yesterday.
He was unreal.
And that guy, I was thinking, it's like, what is the biggest difference between why he has so much success? It's obvious that he plays with Draisaitl and McDavid, and that's going to help. But like, I think he needs organized chaos. Like when he plays with Holloway and McLeod, it is just chaos. Like you do not know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But he can kind of just be like, all he needs to do with McDavid and Hyman is just kind of work hard and get pucks, and then they will find him.
Yep.
And then he's like, oh, I have all this open ice. I'm just going to go to the net as hard as I can. And
he's very good at that play of just really driving and pulling it in front. He almost scored a couple more last night.
I cannot see a scenario now where you can't play that guy in the top six every night. Like for me, so hypothetically, they go out and get a top six guy, Gensel, Eberle. He might be better than Eberle right now.
Right.
It's 5-on-5 scoring would tell you it would be.
There's a lot of, like, the two guys I would upgrade over Fogel would be Buchnevich and Gensel. That's not breaking news. Those guys are really, really good. If you get either of those guys, I think you have to get a legit third line center who can clearly play similar to help Fogel. Because McLeod, it doesn't work, right? Mm-hmm. And then you can have McLeod on your left wing on your second line if you want Kane. whoever it may be, Bogle, if you get your top six guy as well.
Well, let's get into it with our Sherwood Ford Giant question of the show, Liam, because it ties in to exactly what you're talking about there. The Sherwood Ford mobile service van will come to you in the Edmonton region for a bunch of things, even a winter tire swap. I mean, we're slowly getting to the point, probably about a month and a bit away, but you can start to think about getting those winter tires off, which is a great feeling. When that time comes, Sherwood Ford at the Giant can take care of you with their mobile service van. They do a ton of other things as well. You can head to their website or give them a call, 780-449-8040, to book the mobile service or the free valet pickup and delivery, which is another great feature. It's a laundry list of great reasons why Sherwood Ford the Giant should be your next dealership. Also, our friends at Sherwood Power Sports and Marine are opening up like in the next week out in Sherwood Park. So need to keep plugging that because that is going to be very exciting. Your home, your exclusive spot for everything Yamaha out in Sherwood Park. It is going to be an awesome building to get you hooked up for your favorite outdoor summer activities. Our Sherwood Ford Giant question, should Warren Fogle stay in the top six when Ryan Nugent Hopkins is back?
See,
I made a YouTube poll as well.
How many other languages can I say? Yes,
there's three.
That's all I got.
That's all I would know as well. I mean, McDavid Fogle-Hyman was really damn good. You could throw Nuge with Draisaitl and McLeod, Holloway, Evander Kane, and Perry. Oh boy, that line would be bad in the D zone.
What did you say, Holloway,
Kane, and Perry? You can't have Kane and Perry on the ice together, I don't think.
This is without Nuge.
Yeah, so this is without Nuge. What would you do, though? So if you want to keep Fogle on the top line when Nuge is back, how do you sort out these lines?
Well, I do not. I want him to play with Draisaitl. So I'm going to put Nuge back in his spot.
Okay.
I'm going to put Fogle where McLeod is and then bump McLeod down third line C. And now just move Holloway down to fourth line.
So you're going to go Nuge, McDavid, Hyman. You're going to go Draisaitl, Kane, and Fogle on the right side.
Yeah.
And then you're going to go McLeod with Holloway and Perry.
No. I'll just keep Yamaha there. I think Holloway, I need Holloway on the fourth line because I need some speed and skill. You need him down there. I think I think it was Maynard said in the chat, did Holloway even play last night? I know he was a bit of a void out there, but I think when he's going, like he can provide something to that team. And that fourth line is brutal.
Oh, man.
And having Holloway on that line will make a big difference, I think.
That fourth line was such a black hole last night. They got hemmed in their own zone a bunch of times. There was a shift. And this is, again, where I'll go back to a criticism of Chris Knobloch. I think there was two or three times after the Oilers scored, two for sure that I noticed. I think I remember a third where the Oilers scored. And one of them was the goal to make it 5-5, I believe. And the next shift out there was the fourth line. Like starting at center ice after the goal was the fourth line. And Boston would just scoop up a bunch of momentum right away. And it was like, why are we doing that? Why is that the line you want to put out there? Use them in like the odd neutral zone face-off if you need to, but you can't really trust them to do much of anything because in the offensive zone, they struggle. In the D zone, they just get absolutely worked because none of Gagne, Ryan, or Brown really move all that well.
Yeah.
That's just... Oh man, that fourth line needs a change. So you're right. Maybe going Holloway down to the fourth line, Holloway and Brown could maybe be a duo that plays a little bit better, but
like at least there's some, and like you were saying this, and Sam Gagne obviously scored some goals this season. Did he play last night?
Gagne?
I didn't even notice.
Dude, he barely played last night. Like he played 5:57 at 5-on-5, team low. That's brutal.
The point. What are we doing?
Yeah.
You know, just bring up James Hamlin. Like, honestly, bring up Pedersen, bring up Drake Kajula, like bring up literally you could anybody else at this point. And like, we all love Gagne, but take away the name and we're all not as big as fans, right?
No, yeah, like he's here for the vibes.
100%. Oh, hello, Johnny.
I know, Johnny Lazarus, our pal Johnny Lazarus is in the chat. He said, did you guys talk about Kane, McLeod, and Nurse being out there for the icing and OT?
What
Kane,
do you mean?
Kane could have negated it. Oh, Johnny, have we ever talked about it already?
Rewind.
And you won't believe this, Johnny. Scroll up in the chat and see the people defending Kane on that. It's just unbelievable.
I would keep Derek Ryan here.
He at least has his moments.
He's the best of the three.
Derek Ryan's your ideal 13th forward.
Me too. I agree.
You can sit him for four or five games and not feel bad and then just drop him in and know that he's, for the most part, going to give you, I think, mistake-free hockey, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Connor Brown, like, God, I am frustrated as hell. I get it. When Nick Alberga is sending out tweets being like, Austin Matthews has 50 goals before Connor Brown has won.
Oh, he was in the chat just being a dick.
What Pete Blackburn tweeted out last night. Did you see that? So Matthews obviously scored his 50th last night in Arizona. And he pulled up three different tweets. One of them was Nick Alberger. That's why I reminded him, but it was like, Austin Matthews scores his 50th goal of the season. He's now on pace for 77. The next one was Austin Matthews scores his 50th. Now on pace for 76.
It's like, someone else said 78. It's like, what is it
going on? What is the answer here? So yeah, shout out Austin Matthews. Credit to him. I mean, that guy knows how to score goals. It's kind of unbelievable. It'd be nice to have him on the team when he's here in 4 years, when he leaves.
Dr. Carpi, he's here for the vibes. I guess this is Cabo San Lucas, not a hockey team. Sam Gagner should be your 14th forward.
His vibe check should be in Bakersfield.
Yeah.
Bring him up for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Let him be.
I'm not excusing. Like, yeah, we just said, if his name was anything else, we'd probably be a lot harsher on him. But he's also a part of a more collective problem, I would say.
I agree.
But I do think, like, adding some more forward depth to this team, even in a game where they score 5 goals against the Boston Bruins, it's apparent they need more forward depth. And I do think they have some pieces that can contribute to a solid bottom six. But I do think, like, if you were to get one more high-end third-line player and you can bump Holloway down to be your 4C and you had a fourth line, like, is a fourth line of Derek Ryan, Dylan Holloway, and Connor Brown terrible? You have some speed?
But it's not ideal. Like, I know Boston kind of misses some plays, but like, Trent Frederick plays in their third line. He has
15 goals this year. 16 now. Yeah, you're right.
It's like the Oilers can barely put together 16 points with that fourth line. You know what I mean? Like, really need an upgrade. And like, if push comes to shove and you get to the deadline, it's like, hey, we have Ryan, Holloway, and Brown. I don't think it's like the worst thing in the world. But also, I said this a couple of weeks ago about the top six, like, experiment with Fogel in there. See if he can actually do it. He comes up and he does it. Just call up some guys from Bakersfield. Like, see what they can actually do. You've got, 15 days here now? Give him a run. Like, maybe Elaine Peterson comes up and catches fire. Maybe he like sticks around and he's good. Like, we don't know because they're not doing it, because instead they're keeping in Derek Ryan and Matias Janmark because they kill penalties, which is now allowing a power play goal for like 6 straight games.
Yeah, PK stinks.
It's brutal. And it's just like, come on, give these guys a chance. Like, they've experimented with Lavoie. I think he had a run. Maybe he can come back up and do something else, but I would honestly give some other boys a chance here.
Of the 12 forwards, we'll include Nuge in this. So of the 13 forwards, we'll say currently on the roster.
Okay.
How many of them would you actually be comfortable with being in the lineup night one of the playoffs? So like, okay, Fogel, McDavid, Hyman, boom, lock. Kane, Drysdale, McLeod, locked. Holloway's a lock. Perry's a lock.
I guess everyone, but yeah, I would honestly be fine with, I'd be confident with Brown in the lineup. Like, I know that
if he's a fourth line winger, sure. So Connor Brown, you're in there. Do you think you can have both Connor Brown and Derek Ryan in the same lineup?
No, I don't.
I've got Nuge in there as well. So we're debating if you have Connor Brown and Derek Ryan, that's forwards 10 and 11, more or less.
I would only be uncomfortable with Gagner and Ryan in the lineup because of their foot speed. At least Janmark, like, I think he's more of an American League player right now, but I don't know. It wouldn't be for me.
So then is it fair to say you can have one of Janmark or Ryan and one of Brown or Janmark and one of Gagner and Ryan?
Sorry, one of Janmark and who?
Brown.
Brown, yeah.
Right, PK specialist.
Yeah.
Probably not going to score all that much. Janmark's maybe a little more trustworthy, but Brown, I don't know, maybe creates a little bit better in terms of chances. Obviously, I know not goals, but in terms of chances, Brown creates a hair better than him. And then Gagner and Derek Ryan, it's Gagner, you're just looking for someone who makes plays. Derek Ryan at least brings you the penalty kill side of things, also makes plays, but Derek Ryan's definitely better than him. So do you think that's fair?
Yeah, I think that's probably a reasonable way to.
So then you need to go get 2 forwards ahead of the deadline.
There we go. Go Ken.
Giddy up.
Like, that shouldn't be that difficult, should it?
You know, this is the 1 year anniversary of when Bob Stauffer called him out.
I saw that. And then he went and got Ekholm
6 days later.
That's the thing. Like, I'm not in panic mode by any means. No. The team is perfectly fine. They're going to go into playoffs and they're going to be a good team. But there's clearly some faults in this lineup. And I know earlier in the year I called for his head, but like, got to kind of trust Uncle Ken on this because he's proven it in the past that he's willing to pull the trigger on on deals. Like, we've had Ekholm. I know some years it's been like, what's that Russian defenseman that we got?
Anton Belov?
No, the other one. Kulikov.
Dmitry Kulikov, yes.
But that was kind of like a bit of a need that they needed. Got a fourth round pick for him. Trying to get him for a fourth round pick. Like, he's done business. I think he's going to do some stuff here, but it's just not a lot going on. This market sucks. We're here a week ago talking about Nick Dowd going for a first round pick because he has an extra year on his contract. The Oilers can't go out and get a fourth line center next year for $1 million.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's
Lane Peterson's under contract, got a 2-year deal.
Exactly. So is Derek Ryan. Contract comparable on cap friendly is Derek Ryan for Nick Dowd. So there you go. Like, I don't know. Yeah. This market's so weird. Do you think there's a layer of this trade market too where Ken Holland is trying to get as much cap space as he can before the deadline?
Yeah, maybe.
Like, I think that's got to be part of it, you know? Because they could get, I think it's up to close to 2.2 if they
win. I'm so dumb when it comes to that stuff.
I know. I am kind of too. It's a bit weird, but.
Which is not helping our whole, these guys don't know what they're talking about narrative. Well,
to be fair.
We're not trying to pretend to be something we're not.
Definitely not me.
No. Definitely not me either. No, anyways. No. Let's keep moving along with the show here.
What else we got?
Well, we spent...
It piggybacks off of what you just said, the market.
Yeah, I think we've dissected that game last night enough. We're pissed off at Kane. I don't understand the people in the chat who love standing up for that guy, but like, whatever. Skinner wasn't good by any stretch. He's had a couple of rough games. Got to get him sorted out. Chris Knobloch made a bunch of really weird, if not bad, decisions as the team's head coach last night. So there you go. That's kind of the main. Oh, but the comeback was absolutely electric, and this team continues to be elite in the third period.
Yeah. The only thing I'll say is it's clearly evident that Skinner's play is dictated off how the team plays in front of him. Like, I think he can steal games for us for sure, but like, they've got to be better to help Skinner. They can't just allow David Pastrnak to come in to his lot with like one defenseman on the ice and think, this will be great. Hopefully Skinner saves us. And then, you know, there you go.
All right. Couple things to get to here quickly. The Charm Diamond YouTube chat. You guys have been absolutely on fire so far today. Charm Diamond Center is proudly Canadian owned. You can check out their large selection of Canadian lab grown diamonds, mine diamonds, and you don't have to pay until 2025 with their instant in-store financing, OAC. Head to charmdiamondcenters.com to not just check out their in-stock inventory, but also find out a little bit more about the Masterpiece program at Charm. You can get a custom ring built and delivered in less than 4 weeks, and it all comes with their unbeatable pricing policy. Charm Diamond Center's YouTube chat, our pal Johnny, he's firing us a lot of questions in there. Johnny Lazarus putting in some overtime today for the company, making sure our show's got some topics. He said, do you blame Skinner on the Pastrnak goal, or is it just David Pastrnak being David Pastrnak? Well, that's just a terrible giveaway by the Oilers, Kane Perry duo there. And then you give David Pastrnak that kind of space. He's scoring most of the time.
And it's the same with Marchand too, when he scored. Like, it was a bad goal to allow, but at the end of the day, it's not like Dante Heinen's coming down the wing and sniping one on you, right? Like, Pastrnak's one of the best goal scorers in the league. Sometimes they're going to score goals, and that's all it can be. I think Skinner was not good last night by any means, but I blame, again, the play in front of him.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm checking out some other things. Mr. Burns said we can battle it out over arcade games on Saturday, Tyler. I'm excited for our party at Greta coming up this Saturday. BOA watch party happening downtown at our usual party spot at Greta. Pregame show going to be going live from there as well. You can get your tickets now at nationgear.ca. The prepaid shot when Edmonton buries their first goal. Free swag at the door, and that ticket you're buying, it of course all goes towards a good cause as we are in support of Free Play for Kids with this event. So it's a Saturday night, doors at 7 o'clock. Pre-game show will be kicking off right about then as well. And then we'll be partying late into the night after an Oilers dub. Let's get to our rumor roundup for today. Liam, it is brought to you by Star Mechanical. Check them out online at starmechanical.ca. Usually it's the guest line for Star Mechanical, but we're doing things a little bit differently today. We had Frank on the show yesterday, and he teased a little bit of his new trade targets list, but it finally dropped today. So let's take a look at the new look top 10 on Frank Saravalli's trade targets board. Hanifin, obviously not a fit for the Oilers. Chris Tanev, I think could be. And I think
they'll get him.
I really do.
I think that's the guy. With tease too much, they're in too deep.
So here's where I'm just a little bit.
Didn't Frank say it wasn't their priority yesterday?
I don't remember.
I'm quite certain that's what he said.
I would like to see Tanev as an upgrade on CeCe. And if it costs you you know, a first round pick because you need Calgary to take back CeCe as well, mm-hmm. then so be it. I also think Calgary could look at Cody CeCe as, okay, don't laugh at me for this comparable, but their line of thinking with getting Kuzmenko in the Lindholm deal.
I thought the same. It was an asset for next year.
Right. It's like an asset for next year. You test drive him. If he fits, you keep him. If next year goes really, really bad, you keep half of the deadline and move him. With CeCe, as much as we do not like him or we don't like the spot he's mm-hmm. playing in, and he can't be a third pairing D-man with his contract, if Calgary were to keep 50% of that at next year's deadline, some team would like Cody CeCe as depth on D.
Definitely. I mean, Ben Chiarot went for a first round pick a few years ago.
Yeah, I mean, that's great point. So I like Tanev as a fit. I like Gensel as a fit. I like Henrique as a fit, just adding some more depth down the middle. But I'll be honest, I don't think the Oilers have the assets to get two of those three. Not even close. I think you have the ability to go get one big ad on the blue line and then like a small medium ad up front, or you can make your big ad up front and you're doing small medium on the blue line, or just straight up small on the blue line.
Sorry, who's your third player in there?
Tanev, Gensel, Henrique, 2, 3, and 4 on Frank's list.
Yeah, that's a long list of a long shopping list, expensive one.
Yeah.
Gosh, you're shopping at Sobeys. I'm at Walmart.
I'm a save on foods guy. Jake Allen, Sean Walker. The market, or at least the clamoring for Walker, has kind of cooled a little bit.
Rightfully so.
And I think it's just because, like, again, I would just rather pay up for Tanev, even if it is just a little bit more, pay up. Right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Even if you have to overpay again, like if Calgary is going to other teams saying second round pick, but you go to them and say, okay, first round pick for Tanev, but you got to keep half and take CeCe. And Calgary goes, okay, maybe next year we can trade CeCe for like a second or a third at the deadline. And he's a warm body for us. And you're giving us a first, so we're willing to keep some money. Like, unlikely, but you never know. Nick Dowd at 7. I do like him as a fit. There's a handful of guys really in this top 10, like Tanev, Gensel, Henrique, Dowd, and Lawton. 5 of the top 10 for me are fits for the Oilers.
Yeah, Tanev, Gensel. Yeah, the only ones I own really are Hanifin, Allen, Markstrom, the goalies. I don't see Riley Smith coming here. Yeah, I like a lot of the guys on that. I just think Tanev like just really, really solidifies that blue line. But
you're probably a lot more confident in the minutes you have Darnell Nurse on the ice if he can, you know, rely on a guy like Tanev, and he's not the one who's always just trying to keep the pairing afloat, right?
Yeah, and like obviously there's always going to be the conversation until he gets traded that. It's like, oh, why would Calgary do that? So, well, they've made 2 trades with Vancouver this season.
Yeah, I think they care about getting the best price. I used to buy into the, you know, BOA tax, if you want to call it that, but Frank says not to. So,
is Saturday the last time they play Calgary this season?
No, they play them again late.
Late?
Wait, no, they've already played twice. Played 3 times. Yeah, I think you're right.
So, once they play them on Saturday, maybe they're just like, well, we're not going to see them again. What does it matter to us?
Yeah, who cares?
You know, I really think that could be the guy they get. I don't know. The fact that they've called, and like there was an article yesterday saying there's, I think there's 4 teams in on him: Dallas, Colorado, Vancouver, and Edmonton.
Yeah.
April 6th, Flames.
Ah, so there's a 4th time.
Like, oh, April 6th, they're going to be down on dumps anyway.
Exactly.
Right? What does it matter to them? I just see Cody CeCe last night, and I just think, like, what if that happens in the playoffs? Like, that, what if the Stanley Cup final and that happens, you know? Yeah. Like, you remember Tanev last season, like, he's playing the BOA, like, he was injured.
Oh,
he's,
yeah,
like, trying to play and do everything. Like, people keep saying you need Warriors in the playoffs. I completely agree. I think that guy would be unbelievable for Edmonton.
Yeah. Rusty asked, is Scott Laughton a center? Yes, he is. So the centers on this list are Henrique, Dowd, and Laughton. 2 of them come with term. Lawton's got 2 more years at 3 mil. Dowd's got 1 more at 1.2. And then Henrique is done after this year. He's the most expensive of the bunch, though, at like a $5.75 million cap.
5.825.
A lot of money. All right, let's go to the next rung. It's 11 through 20. Buchnevich, love. Love, 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 love.
I'd pay whatever they want.
But I just don't know how you fit it in this year.
This year?
Yeah. St. Louis.
Send down Yamok.
Dude, he's $5.8 million.
Yeah, he's definitely tough. Like, that's, I don't know how you would even do it. Yeah. Find a way.
It'd be really hard just with that term. Chychrun, no. Carrier, I like Carrier. Is Carrier a top 4 guy on a cup contender? He handles heavy minutes in Nashville. So, like,
you know, I think yes. I don't know if he's a top pairing guy. on a cup contender. But I guess they won't need him to because their top pairings are Coleman and, mm-hmm. and Bouchard, despite what the lineup sheet says. Mm-hmm. He's good. He's seems a little bit more intelligent in moments than what CC can be, like hockey IQ, I guess, say intelligence. But I like him. I think he's a good check down option if you miss on Tanev.
Yeah, that's fair. So again, the thing I'm worried about dealing with Nashville is they've already retained salary on two guys. They have Johansson and Ekholm in their dead cap. So they can only retain on one more. Would they be willing to keep any of that 2.5 mil of Alexander Carrier? I don't know. But Nashville being maybe a bit of a one-stop shop for the Oilers in the sense, I know Friedman wrote about it a little bit. What if you can get Tommy Novak out of Nashville?
I was thinking that too.
Like, you get a good, impactful bottom six guy in Novak who scores, man. He can put the puck in the net. And you get Carrier. And if they'd be willing to take CC, the cap switches. So what'd you do? Actually, I'm going to save it. I'm going to save that talk. I got a Service Credit Union mock trade for after this segment. Tarasenko, interesting check down option. I think if you're out on a guy like Gensel because you don't like the price, then Tarasenko is a really, really intriguing fit. I think after, like, the tiers are kind of Gensel at the top to Foley if he were to come available. Boom. Okay. Then it's probably like Buchnevich is so damn good, but it'll be so hard to get him. Yes. But he's in that top tier too. So there's like a top tier three. And then Tarasenko is really the 1B for me. I worry about him defensively, but he scores a lot. Putting a shooter next to Draisaitl would be very, very tempting. Love it. The next tier is Mantha, Duclair, and Eberle for me. And Eberle, I think, comes later in the list. But Mantha, Duclair, and Eberle. What do you make of the idea of Anthony Mantha?
I like Mantha. Don't believe he's ever played a full 82 season.
Nope.
So that's a bit of a worry, I guess, depending on his health further down the road. But I like him. He's a big body. He actually plays on his offside. So if you ever need him to play on the other side, it's an option too, right? Bit of versatility there. I like him as like a far down option, but his cap is what, 6 million?
I think it's Buchnevich territory there, 5.8 something.
I guess it is, right? But like
5.7. So you'd have to, that's basically like, well, let's look at it like this. If Ottawa's sitting there going, we want a second rounder for Vlad Tarasenko, mm-hmm. and you need to get a third party involved to get the cap it down to a real reasonable number, so it's a second and a fourth for him. What if Washington sits there and is like, you know, we just want to get this guy off the books. Maybe it's a little bit of like do right by the player, give him a chance to play in his contract year. But what if Washington's like, okay, we'll do a second. No, it'd probably be about the same then. I have a hard time believing they'd do it for just a third.
Yeah.
But if you get him retained twice, Mantha, you can squeeze in anybody if you can get him retained twice, honestly.
Yeah, everyone's available for if you can do that. I like Mantha's further down on my list because of his track record of health. But he's got a lot of scoring ability.
Yeah.
He's good. And having a big body like that in the playoffs would be solid. But I like Tarasenko. 6'5",
Mantha. Mulek said Mantha's almost a cap dump, though. So, like, I mean, maybe Washington would. Maybe if you went to them and were like, hey, you keep the first 50% or you keep 30% of it. Keep a third. We'll give you a third. And then go find another broker somewhere. We'll give them a fourth. And they'll keep another third of it.
It's 17 goals this season.
Like he's scoring at a 30 goal pace more or less, or real close to it. Yeah. But last year, 11 goals in 67 games. I mean, that's not terrible. Average 14 minutes a night. He's an intriguing one to me as like a check down to your check downs, you know?
Yeah. I wonder, like,
I don't hate Duclair either.
I keep thinking about that Ryan O'Reilly trade from last season and just how they got like Noah Achari in that deal as well. Like, if there's a way the others can do that themselves,
which goes back to doing the Carrier and Novak thing.
Yeah. And even
I'm sold on that now.
Yeah. Even like Buchnevich, if you can get like Sundqvist, that's good. He's not mm-hmm. as good in a face-off circle.
That gets real expensive though.
That does. But I'm just thinking outside the box here. Like,
yeah.
Henrik, again, expensive, but like Sam Carrick's right there as well. If you wanted to get another cheaper guy, like,
and then your center depth, you can move really McLeod good. To the wing full time, Nuge to the wing full time, and run McDavid, Drysdale, Henrik, Carrick.
That's good.
I don't hate that.
And then you also have the depth of having 20 centermen on your rosters if anything happens.
Yeah, that too. Mulek said Mantha 75% for third and fourth is interesting. I agree. Lance, we're just spitballing.
We are spitballing.
It's basically all we have. It's a
silly season because no trades have happened in like 3 weeks.
I do like Henrik Carrick, said Bring Cassian Home. Agreed. Okay, let's go to the next rung, 21 through 30. Zucker, no. Kulak, already an Oiler. Hoffman stinks. Kaliev, no. Fleury, Frank thinks there's about a 10% chance they actually move him. He thinks Fleury kind of wants to stay put. Provorov.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What do you think of Ivan Provorov?
Who wouldn't want Provorov? He's a good player, but is he a righty? What are we looking at?
No, he's a left shot. Do you want yeah, you're right. And if he was a righty, I'd be more intrigued in that.
Salary's already retained on him too.
But if Columbus were to keep it again, it's from 4.75 down to like 2.375. Nah, probably not a fit. Not a fit.
No, I don't think
so. Jordan Greenway, again, I like the player if you were to make him like a bottom six ad.
Expensive, isn't he?
But he's expensive. I don't like the cap hit. $3 million for this year and next. You're not adding a $3 million bottom six guy. So I am totally fine with, I stay away. Brandon Duhaime, Morgan Frost, but the one we skipped over there is Jordan Eberle. Yesterday, I was at the Oilers game.
Yep.
Met.
You see him?
No, I did not see him. But I was sitting by a gentleman. And I hope I'm not messing up his name. I think he said it was Dallin from Saskatchewan. Watches our show.
Oh, welcome.
But yeah, was sitting next to him at the game, and he wanted to know. He was like, Eberle or Guentzel? He's like, which one would you go get?
Oh, Guentzel.
Well, it's Guentzel, but okay. Let me just give you my line of thinking here.
All right.
Guentzel costs you 2 firsts. Plus a fourth to get a third party broker involved.
Yeah.
Eberle maybe costs you 1 first. Right? Maybe. And a fourth to retain.
Maybe a first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any,
so different.
Right? Okay. Do you have any hope in hell of re-signing Guentzel?
No, you cannot afford him.
Is there a chance you could re-sign Eberle to a hometown sweetheart deal to end his career here?
Definitely. But how old is Eberle now? I like Eberle. I would welcome him back. He's 33.
I saw someone earlier saying if it wasn't for the sentimental value, we wouldn't be considering Eberle. This is just like Gagne, but it's not. Eberle's still productive. Eberle's been a good playoff performer. I would definitely welcome him,
but I'm standing by my point. I really think Warren Fogle can be a top six winger on this team consistently.
He can, but again,
adding the depth is important.
Yeah, getting Eberle isn't replacing Warren Fogle or upgrading Warren Fogle. Getting Eberle is just adding depth.
Yep. That's probably fair. Yeah, I wouldn't mind him.
It's interesting.
Where's Seattle at right now? They're out of the playoff picture, right?
Yeah, they are.
I mean, if you want to put Eberle on your third line, and go ahead.
But then it's like, oh God, are you giving up too much for a guy who's on your third line?
But then again, the market's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently everyone's worth a first round pick nowadays anyway.
Yeah, so. And I shouldn't even say Seattle's out of it. I mean, couple points, and if they win their game in hand, they're right there with St. Louis and Nashville. So they might even want to hold on and try and make a push. I think we have 10 more players to go through in the trade targets list here, 30 through 40. What, did Frank's list go that long? Oh, it did. John Merrill, Teschier, Merzlikins, K, Sealer, D'Angelo, no. Kevin Hayes, not happening. Roslovic, no. I mean, I'd like Hayes.
To Edmonton, or just in general?
I have a funny feeling he's just not going to get moved, but even... To Edmonton, I wouldn't hate them. Good third line center, but you're paying a lot to get them to retain.
I feel like St. Louis is just going to get to a point where it's like, we have six guys available and now we've moved one and now we're happy.
Yeah.
You know, I feel that's probably whether
LeBanc, no, Zegras, like obviously not. So nothing really going on at the end of Frank's list there, but that is our rumor roundup for our friends at Star Mechanical, Edmonton's number one plumbing and heating company. They are locally owned and operated, and they've been doing some fine work for the last couple of decades all around the Edmonton area. Liam, let's get to our mock trade. I'm going to throw you one here. The trade is fake, but you know what's real? Money you can win with the Service Big Share contest. It's back for a sixth year with your chance to win $1 million just by saving money. Anyone can enter by becoming a member and saving with Service. Every $500 saved gives you five entries into the Service Big Share contest. You can even transfer your existing savings to Service for a chance to win $1 million. The contest ends April 30th, 2024. Skill test required. For rules, visit service.ca/win. All right. Let's try to get Carrier and Novak. What are we giving up here to do this thing? So I think part one of it is if you're getting Carrier, you are moving on from Cody Ceci. You view Carrier as a Cody Ceci upgrade if you're the Oilers. So Ceci's got to go back. So we got Carrier and Novak coming in. You're adding a bottom six piece in Novak. You're adding a top four piece in Alexander Carrier. Ceci to make the money work. What would you be willing to add to that deal? First round pick for sure.
I mean, probably, right? Like
it's getting two pieces.
Four. Bottom four picks in a draft. So you could do that. So what did you say? Sorry, CC.
And the first for Carrier and Novak.
I mean, isn't Hell it just yeah. like a
Sign
middle,
me up right now.
Maybe like a middle six pick, middle draft pick or whatever.
Sure. They'll
pick. That's what I was trying to
say. I see. And I don't even know.
I mean, that's a law. At the end of the day, Cody CC is an NHL player who can probably play top 4 minutes for a team.
Yeah.
Giving up a lot. Like, I don't know. I don't know how much more.
What if they? What if they said they'll give you back your fourth this year? Because Edmonton traded their fourth in the Ekholm deal.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Like, and then do we have to add another pick?
No,
I'm terrible at making these
first. Like, first CC for Carrier, Novak, and a fourth.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. I think again, like Carrier is the check down option from Matanev, and Novak would help that bottom six massively. That bottom six is brutal. They need to find a way to add to that. And I
need to get someone who can drive play.
I really think like adding anyone to that bottom six would make this team so, so much better.
Mm-hmm. Someone in the Facebook said, what about Shabbat and Tarasenko from Ottawa? What?
Well, that would be awesome. But do you remember actually, was it Frank that came on here and said like Ottawa might move away from a.
I think they're open.
Shabbat's going to be very difficult to get. I'm not saying him, but like. I don't think Ottawa moving on from one of those like top guys would be anything too crazy.
Yeah, just because they have a lot of good young D-men, right? Or they have a handful of young D-men.
If you're half decent in Ottawa, you're going to need a deal.
Hell yeah. All right, there you go. That's our mock trade for Service Credit Union and the Service Big Share Contest. Wendy's Daily Face-Off Survivor Pool. Are you still alive?
I forgot to play.
You forgot to play?
Well, we were busy on Monday.
I made my pick Monday. I forgot to play Tuesday.
Oh, well, that was good. Did you win on Monday?
Yeah. Brutal, man. Just absolutely brutal. I just can't buy a break in this game. You can have your say at dailyfaceoffsurvivor.com. It is all brought to you by Wendy's and the Wendy's app, where you can score 150 bonus reward points just by downloading it today. So you can be a winner because you get fed nice and good from our friends at Wendy's, and you stack up the rewards points, and then you play Daily Faceoff Survivor. And what happens? You start racking up more and more points. You win some prizes. It's a win, win, win situation.
What do you like tonight?
Pasternak to give. He only had four yesterday, so 4.5 shots. That number's high. Florida to beat Carolina.
Sure, that sounds like a good one.
Yeah, that's a
good result. I'm gonna go tie the second point.
Ooh, that's a good one. He's like point a game this year, close to it.
He's had a great year.
Mm-hmm. Him and Duchesne have been unreal in Dallas.
Tyler Seguin, what a career that guy could add.
I mean, he's
had a good grade. Don't get me wrong, but like, felt like that guy was just like destined for stardom. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he had some really good seasons.
Who had a better career than him or Taylor Hall?
Taylor Hall. He has an MVP.
But he has a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, but he was like a healthy scratch. Like
almost 1,000 games for Taylor Seguin. 900 of Jesus.
Time flies.
When you're having fun.
Remember the Taylor versus Tyler debate?
I do. Who would you rather have now?
Hey, well, you know what? Let's flash forward to next year's NHL trade deadline, Liam. When we're getting the Taylor Hall hype train going.
Again? Hey, done this a few times.
He'll be in the last year of his deal, $6 million, twice retained.
Mm. I mean, they're definitely going to move out on him. I would welcome Taylor Hall. Hey, if we're bringing back Eberle, we may as well bring back Hall, dude.
What do you give up this summer if Chicago?
Magnus Pojavi.
What if Chicago calls you up and is like, hey, we'll take Campbell off your hands. And you go, okay, yeah, take Campbell off our hands, but we'd like to gently use Taylor Hall back in that deal.
I don't know. I mean, I'd probably give up a few picks because you're getting a good NHLer in return, right?
Ready? Rapid fire. First, Broberg, Campbell for Taylor Hall.
This Broberg, Campbell for Taylor Hall. Yes, but I would like a pick back as well from... no, I wouldn't do that.
First to get rid of Campbell, Broberg for Hall.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's like...
First plus to get rid of Campbell.
Yeah,
that's not even a full value kind of thing, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
All right, let's wrap up the show with our menu for for our friends at DoorDash. 25% off, zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you use that promo code up at the top of your screen, Nation25. That's 25% off on your first order of $15 or more. Yesterday, I executed my plan perfectly, Liam. Okay. I sat in my truck, in the Nation truck. I ordered up my burrito. I put my phone in my little clip, and then I knew exactly when I was 15 minutes away. I hit order. Pulled up to the burrito shop, walked in, ready to go, boom, out, eat my burrito at home. I was my own DoorDash driver, which is a nice thing. It's not just always delivery. You can use it to your own advantage. Also, the Double Dash feature lets you add a second stop to your delivery with no extra fees included. DoorDash, dash that for the win. New Nation Real Life today, we're going to have a full recap of our Nation vacation out in Arizona. We're obviously going to be talking a little bit more about the Oilers game last night. So a lot going on the Real Life podcast. I'm sure we'll get into a handful of different tangents there as well. That's about it for today, I think. Hey,
notebook.
Oh, the notebook is dropping today. Yes.
New trade targets list. We got to dissect the two.
So it'll be
Coombsy, just you and Coombsy today. No Zach Lang.
All right. AB and Coombsy dropping some fresh content later on today as well. That's a wrap on today's edition of the show. Tomorrow, Friday, it is a game day on a Friday. The Oilers have back-to-back sets or a set of back-to-backs this weekend. So it's a short for giant game day. Jay's going to be here. Betway game day, betting challenge, all of that good stuff, all from the Sports Closet Studio. Big shout out to everyone in the Charm Diamond Center's YouTube chat today. We had a lot of fun. We disagreed a little bit. I don't mind that, though. It's okay to get a little bit spicy. Tomorrow, we'll just set our sights on an Oilers game against the Wild. Calvin Pickard expected to start for the Oil, according to Jack Michaels.
Good.
Still no RNH.
Sad.
It's a practice day. He'll be back. I think he'll be back. All right, but Calvin Pickard expected to start tomorrow. So we'll have a full game day breakdown tomorrow at noon Mountain Time. We'll chat with you then.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.